A lot's been said about salvation, and I believe a lot of people is. I listened to Brother Moore preach a message one time on lost believers, and I was a lost believer at one time. I believed. I had a head knowledge about the Lord. I served the Lord out of the imagination of my own heart. And so I went for 2 years. Most of you know what I'm fixing to say. I was raised in a church, a Baptist church, and we went to church 3 times a week. We had Sunday service, we had Sunday night, and we had Wednesday night. And I was raised in an atmosphere, you didn't get up on Sunday morning and wonder about where you were going. You didn't get up and say, "Are we going to church?" You knew on Sunday morning you was going to get up and you was going to church. And I was raised in that. My dad was a deacon in that church, and we went to revival meetings, and they would last from Monday through Saturday, all week long, 7 days, 7 nights. You started out on a Sunday, and you went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you come back Monday night through Saturday night, and then you was back on Sunday, and people came. And when I was 16 years old, they was having a service. And I was sitting back at the back, me and another boy. And the preacher came back to me. And he took my arm. And he said, "Brian, are you saved?" And my very words to him, and I remember it just like yesterday, my very words was, "No, if I die, I'd go to hell." And he pulled on my arm. And I looked up and I seen my mama. And I seen Dad, but I seen Mom. And the thought came to my mind, if I don't go, what am I going to tell Mama? So down the aisle I went, knelt down on that, did be this side. Remember it just as plain as day. They gathered around me like I was a prize to be won. And there was guys gathered around me and praying. I never prayed. Got up. "Are you saved?" I felt better. Now, why did I feel better? Because I did what they wanted me to do, and I had no questions to answer to Mama when I got home. I did the right thing, I thought. And when you do the right thing, don't you feel better? Even if it's the wrong thing, but you feel like it's the right thing, it makes you feel better. So I got up and said, "Yeah, I'm saved." And I had that testimony. I walked the aisle. I knelt down. I don't remember praying or nothing, but I went down there and boom, 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 and got up and said, "I'm saved." Well, that's when my trouble really began. Not long after that, I said, "Well, I'm going to preach." So I went in to ministry, so to speak. And from 17 years old to 19 years old, I was preaching. And if I could have no place to preach, I'd find me a place to preach. We went and had what they called cottage prayer meetings. You ever heard of them? Or somebody invites you in the house, you come in there and you preach to people, and they try to get people in there. We used to have them. I preached in the jailhouse. I mean, go down there to the jailhouse, go into them prisoners, and in that jail preaching. I preached on the street and stage full at the court, old courthouse down there, stood out there and preached. You say, I didn't know that. Yeah. You know what's wrong with it? I was lost. But I was preaching. Every day I begin to doubt what had happened. I had works. I had good works. I didn't have a television. Got rid of that. I mean, thought holiness was entirely the way that you live, and tried to live without sin. Lost. So, at 19, I mean, miserable. And in them 2 years while I'm preaching, every week, now June's back there and she can vouch for this, in them 2 years, I know 90% of the time, every week, I'd go down to my pastor's house, knock on his door, and I'd say, "Preacher, I believe I'm lost. Oh, come on in here. Come on, the devil's got a hold of you, boy. You know, you preach all that, blah, blah, blah. You need more faith." I remember one time he turned over to Hebrews chapter 11 and said, "You need to read that. That's the faith chapter. Need more faith." I'd get down in my bed, beside my bed, "God, if I'm lost, I want you to save me." I was miserable. Always had that word in there. This word. "God, if I'm lost, I want to be saved. Lord, I don't want to go to hell." I'd turn over to Romans chapter 10 and begin to read that on my knees and just praying and crying, "Lord, I don't want to go to hell. You said, Lord, if I'm lost, save me." Always if. Always in my mind. Look at your works. You don't do nothing to be bad. You've quit everything. You've done. You've turned over a whole new life. You're doing this. You're preaching. You're teaching. You're helping people. If I'm lost, save me. And then one day I was standing out. And I remember that behind the trailer there was lived in a single wife. Had a clothesline back there. And I was miserable. Just eating on me, gnawing on me, just tearing me up inside. I'd go to a church and if they preached on deception, man, it just about kill me. And if the preacher got up and said something about being lost, people that are that's lost, deceived, oh man, just eating on me and eating on me day in and day out. And I was standing behind that, and I looked up, and I had that down, and I looked up to God in heaven, and I said, if this is religion, I don't want no part of the hell with it all. I walked into the house, took the license down, preaching license and everything down, threw them in a drawer, and said, I'm not going to even do nothing no more. God, if this is the way you put people through this, I don't want nothing to do with you. Now that happened. There's one man that I had, being lost, but religious, I had confidence in. I'd go to these people and I'd say, well, but they, Brian, we've heard you preach. And one said, well, God, I've seen God on you, Brian. Now, what does God look like? But I've seen you preaching the power and all this. And people's got saved. And oh, you the devil's just, you're going through a battle with the devil. And so it over and over and over again. And so I went. This man was preaching in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. And I'd done backed out. It was on Friday night. And my first cousin, Shorty, and his wife, Wanda, and me and June, we were pretty, you know, we did a lot of things together. And I told him about it. And old Shorty come on and said, you going up there? I said, I'll go with you. Wanda's going to stay here with June or something like that. And I said, nah, I don't think I'm going to go. Nah, we're going to go. Let's go. And we went. And that Friday night he preached. Didn't preach nothing. I wrote him a letter. Told him what I was going through. And he told me where he was going to be at. So I, after he preached, he was getting in the car, and I said, Brother Ray, Dr. Ray, I said, I'm the one that wrote you a letter. He talked funny. He talked like, oh yeah, okay. Come on with me. And so we went back down to his hotel where he was staying, room 19, Taylor Hotel. Went in there, just small room, big old bed. And I began to tell him what I was going through. I was wanting him to tell me I was saved or not. You understand, there's a man I thought could talk to God and God tell him to tell this boy I'm saved. I was at my wit's end. You got to realize, I was drove crazy almost. And I'll never forget, Shorty was sitting here, he was sitting there, and I was right here. Matter of fact, I was sitting on his bed. And he did do it. Just started doing that. You're trying to build, and I can't talk like him, but you know how, you're trying to build a house with no foundation. And when he said that, boy, I said, I'm lost. Mark. He said, I don't know, are you? I said, I'm lost. And I said, this religion and everything I've done is nothing but junk. And he said, he said, now wait a minute now, before we go. He said, I'm not getting down here praying with you if you're going to say, God, if I'm. No, there ain't no ifs now. I'm lost. I am lost. My church, my religion, my good works cannot do nothing for me. I'm a sinner. And I knelt down beside that big old bed. And I said, Lord, for the first time in my life, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. And you know what happened to me? I have something shot through. Now, don't you go out of here and say, because you ain't had my experience. You won't have my experience. But you got to realize I went for 2 years, every day of my life agonizing over my salvation. And when that night came, it was like something quickened through me, shot through me, and I jumped. I literally jumped. And Brother Ray said, get up. We're going to the tabernacle. And we drove all the way back up the tabernacle, and I'm sitting in the back seat thinking, what in the world? I even said, will God not save me? And we got up there in that tabernacle, and I knelt down again. I said, Lord, I'm not going nowhere this time. You're either going to save me or kill me, because I got to have some relief. It's sort of like that coon hunter climbed a tree, and there was a bobcat up there. And he said, shoot up here. Well, I might hit you. Well, shoot anyway. One of us has got to get some relief. And that's the way I was. And in that tabernacle, it dawned on me what God had done for me. And folks, I realize now why Brother Ray got me out of the hotel. Because if I would have done in that hotel what I did in that tabernacle and rejoicing and praising God, they would have threw him out of the hotel and he wouldn't have had no where to sleep that night. It was like a burden was lifted. Oh, I'm saved. And all the way from Spruce Pine, North Carolina, down to where I lived in Statesville, I'd look over short and say, you're riding with a saved man. I'm saved for the first time in my life. And I went in there at 5 a.m. and woke June up. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Everywhere I went, I'm saved. And about 12 o'clock, next Saturday, still going. I looked over in June, had tears coming down on her cheeks. And she said, I'm lost. I've never been saved either. She was the first one that I helped. And you know all I could tell her? Just trust him. Just tell him and trust him. And the Lord saved her in that living room and did that little trailer on that cabin. Why am I telling all this? You're saying some of you, there's somebody here today, you think you're going to make heaven and get in there because you think you're good. And you think God's going to accept you, and you've got too much pride in your heart to say, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. And God won't send me to hell. Well, let me tell you something. The Lord will put you in the bottom of hell. There ain't no ifs about it. It's like being an expected mother, you either is or you ain't. There's no gray area in salvation. You're not trying to learn and grow in knowledge and get to the point, I'm saved. You, right now, everybody in this building, every one of you, you're either saved or you're lost. And if you're saved, you know it. Now, there might be times that you don't feel saved. There might be times you say, my Lord, how in the world could you save somebody like me? There might be times in your life you look at yourself and, there might be a time that you might even doubt it. But once you doubt it, you come back to that song that they were singing, Blessed Assurance. There's something inside you that gives you the assurance that you're saved. And folks, Brother Kevin's talked about the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus Christ went to that cross. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't have no sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Let me put it up here. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you know something? They nailed Him up between two thieves. He was counted among the transgressors. Jesus Christ on that cross went to that cross. The wages of sin is death, the payment of sin. What you earn from sinning is death. And there's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in this building today that does not have a sin nature about you. You are a sinner. You are a sinner by birth. You are a sinner by choice. You are a sinner. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know how I know people sin are sinners? They die. Jesus Christ went and He paid. The wages of sin is death. So His death. He had no sin to pay for. But He died. He's not dying His death. He's dying your death. And so that's your payment of sin. They put Him in that tomb, laid Him out there. Sealed it up. Put a big old roll of stone at the mouth of that tomb. Put a seal on it. Rock, made out of rock, where no man had been laid. No way to get out. And on that third day, an angel comes down in there and he rolls the stone away. He didn't roll the stone away to get Jesus out. He rolled the stone away so the disciples could look in. Because Jesus Christ was already gone. And on that third day, I can just see it in my mind's eye. You see, they wrapped Him up like a mummy. It's like Lazarus. He come forth. Lazarus wasn't walking. Lazarus was bound. He was wrapped up in grave clothes. He floated out of that tomb when Jesus raised Lazarus. And He said, loose him and let him go. Jesus Christ laid out on that tomb, in that tomb like a mummy. He's wrapped up. And I can see it in my mind's eyes on that third day. The payment of sin was made. It was deposited. And on that third day, Jesus Christ, if you'd been standing in there, you'd seen His body come up through them grave clothes. I can see Him turn over there and take that napkin off of the face of that mummified grave clothes there that was still wrapped up. They put spices and herbs on them and it's just stuck together. He took off that gray napkin off of the head of that thing and folded it up, laid it over here. And they could look down and see that there ain't nobody in them grave clothes. It's empty. Just a hall. And then I can see Him go up through them rock and float, come out of that tomb and come out of there. And an angel rolls the thing. Now you know what the resurrection is? The death of Christ was the payment of your sins. The burial of Christ was the deposit made for your sins. And the resurrection of Christ is the receipt that the payment has been made. All you need to do is accept it. It's done. It's a done deal. God is not looking for your works. He don't care. Your works are nothing but filthy rags in His sight. You can't get good enough to get saved, or you can't get good enough for God to accept you. Why? Because you're a sinner. And everything that you touch is sin. Your good works become works of iniquity if you're trying to impress God. Jesus' only work God is going to accept in your behalf for your salvation is the death of His Son, and that's the work God will accept. So what do? You believe it. Acts chapter 16. You say, well, my Lord, you're going to preach now? I've been preaching. You know, sometimes you preach your message before you read the text. Sometimes you read your text and preach your message. What difference does it make as long as it gets done? Look what he said in Acts chapter 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So they're having a prayer meeting by the river down there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. I want just for a moment. You cannot get saved anytime you want to get saved. Did you hear what I just said? Some people say, well, I'll just get saved at my convenience. No. Something's got to happen. You know what's got to happen for you to get saved? The Lord has to open your heart. Well, how does He do that? Turn to Proverbs and look in the book of Proverbs. Notice in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. We'll start. Now this is what's concerning the Lord. The Bible says through the shedding of His blood we have the forgiveness of sins. He died, He was buried, and He rose from the dead. This is the work of God here. This work can't be accomplished by you. People say, well, I'll die for my own sins. Then you'll die and be in second death for eternity. Your crimes against God, God's an eternal God. He ain't going to go nowhere. Somebody had to pay. So the work of God was done through Christ Jesus. Your works, look what he said in Proverbs. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearken unto the counsel is wise. You want to be wise? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that wise there, a fool is right. You know what that rightness in a fool's eyes is? That's self-righteousness. Turn to chapter 14, verse 12. In chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, the way of murder don't seem right unto man. The way of adultery don't seem right unto man. The way of a thief don't seem right unto man. What seems right unto the man? Self-righteousness. Religion seems right unto man. There are people going to church today thinking that because they go to church, God's somehow smiling on them and they're going to let them go into heaven someday. Baloney. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me, what? Draw him. You understand? Self-righteousness is the way of a fool. Self-righteousness is the way of religion. It's not the way of the Lord. So what needs to happen? Look with me, look in chapter, go to verse 9, chapter 15, verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. This I show you today is the work of God. It's the way of life. It's the way of righteousness. It's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness. And if you trust Christ as your Savior, you've got to have your heart open. Why? Because you think you're self-righteous right now. Look in chapter 16. In chapter 16, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Verse 2. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's why people need, that's what Kevin said about the physician. They that are sick need the physician. You don't go to the doctor till you have an ailment. And you recognize that ailment, you go to the doctor. That's the way it is. When you see yourself as a sinner, you need a Savior. But until you see yourself as a sinner, you never see a need of a Savior. Why? Your ways are clean. You're self-righteous. And it's the way of a fool. So I don't like that. Good. I'm telling you, look in chapter 21. Chapter 21. In chapter 21, notice verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. You see, God knows what's in your heart. You look at yourself. It's right. But in your deepest thoughts, in your heart, you really know it ain't. You put on a front. You say the right things. You know the cliches. You're very religious. You know the right phrases. But God looks on your heart. Are you saved? Number one, the Lord's got to open your heart. Why? So you'll see yourself in need of a Savior. You see, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners! This right here. You see, this is the pivot. You know, you could do it like this. Put old Adam back here. Now, old Adam back here, everybody's in Adam. They think they're pretty good old Joes, man. You know what they're judging themselves by? Each other. They look at this old criminal over here, this old drunk, dope addict, whatever, and they say, boy, I'm not like them. I go to church. I give money. I do this, I do that, I'm not like so and so. You're in Adam. So you got this over here, you got this man, he's very religious. But you got over here, you got a harlot over here. You got a drunk down here. Okay. You got a man over here. He's just a, I don't know what you call him. He likes drugs. You know, I mean, man, he goes after it. You got all of these people in here. You might have a sister in here. And that's not you family. You might have, there might be a preacher in here. Might be a deacon in here. All these good people. You know what they got in common? They're in Adam. How in the world are you going to get out of Adam? You look at this and this preacher look here. Well, boy, I ain't like that drunk. Pretty good old feller. You got it as, hey, I don't do drugs. I don't do none of this stuff. I'm better than they are. Pretty good old fella. I do it. And they put all that. You're in Adam. But there's another group over here. You know what this is? You know, this the group over here, they're in Christ. You know how they got in Christ? Everybody that got in, they come from Adam through the cross to get in Christ. You know what they got over here? Their righteousness. Not their own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. One other passage. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Now folks, if you're sitting here today, people say, well, how do I know if I'm under conviction? If you see yourself lost, you didn't see that in your own self. You saw that because the Holy Spirit showed it to you. The time to get saved is when the Spirit of God shows you you're a sinner. And don't put it off. Look with me in Romans chapter 3. Notice what he said. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Then folks, everybody that believes the gospel, put in Christ, their righteousness, their righteousness. Do you know something? God Almighty does not see my unrighteousness today. He sees me in Christ. And in God's sight, I am as pure as new fallen snow. He sees no imperfection in me. He sees me in Christ. And in Christ, there is no sin. In Christ, there is no law. The law was done away at the cross. In Christ, I am saved, not by my own works, but by the work of the Lord at the cross. Oh, I hope you see that. Lillian's heart was opened to the things that Paul had said. She was a worshiper of God, but she'd never seen what Paul said. Listen, there are multitudes today that are trying to get saved by what Peter and the 12 and the kingdom said, and they've never adhered to the things of Paul. And that's where the salvation is at today. God opens your heart. Now, if you're lost today, the Lord will save you right where you're sitting. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and to be saved is to be in Christ. The Bible says that He only hath immortality. The wages of sin is death by care. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you've never trusted Christ, I don't care how good you are, you're still in Adam. I don't care what kind of works you got, you're still in Adam. You can't get out of Adam without coming through the cross to get into Christ. Now, when did you ever trust Christ as your Savior? I'm not saying when you walked aisle. I'm not saying when you were baptized. I'm saying, when did you, as a sinner, realize, hey, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell, there's nothing I can do about this, and realize that Jesus Christ did the work for me, and you called upon Him in that state of a mind and trusted the Lord, and He saved you. There ain't growing into it, and I've used that. I stick my finger in a light socket, I wouldn't say I'm now being shocked. It happens that quick. Are you saved? And if you're not, will you believe on the Lord right now? Folks, this is serious business. You're gambling. You know what you're doing if you're lost here today? You're playing Russian roulette with your soul. You're going to leave here and gamble that God's going to give you another opportunity to believe. And He might not. Why don't you trust Him right now? Would you bow your heads? Father, Lord, I've done the best I can. And I pray that You'll take the message and use it for Your glory, and may people see their need and trust You and be saved. Lord, everything is accomplished, we'll give You the praise. Father, I pray that while I'm praying, somebody somewhere in this building, Lord, would just say in their heart, Lord, I know that I'm lost. And I believe You died for me, and from this day forward, I'm trusting in that is my salvation. Oh God, help them to do that. Help them to turn it over to You for their salvation, for Christ's sake. Amen. If you got saved, tell somebody about it. With the mouth, confession is made. You shake hands and go.